This week's message is Pastor Jeff Hawkins continuing his sermon series, Out of Context. We pray that you are blessed with deeper understanding of the scripture.
You know, we've been in a sermon series called Out of Context. And really the goal has been to look at some passages that, for the most part, have been taken, whether it's been taken out of context, misunderstood, misapplied. And we just want to take the Word of God, read it for what it is, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. You don't have to have a degree in Hebrew and Greek to understand the Word. The Word is plain and simple. And actually it says that the Holy Spirit reveals the mysteries of God to us. So you don't have to have a degree in Hebrew or Greek, but we do need to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit to allow Him to teach us. Because we can read the Word and we can go, man, that is so good. And we can completely miss it. Have you ever done that? Like, you just read the Word and you're like, here it is. And then later on you come back to it and you're like, man, Lord, how did I miss that? I thought I knew what that was saying. And so the goal is to take the Word at the Word, not add anything to it, not take anything away from it. Look at it, and let's. And so we're going to be in Isaiah 52. We're going to be starting in Isaiah 52, verse 13. Now, let me preface this by saying there's going to be like, we're going to read four passages of Scripture right now. It's a lot of Scripture, but the beauty is that's the pure words of God, not my words. So even if you don't hear anything that I say, as long as we read the Word today, we're going to be in a great spot. In case I get off out of tune here, here's the main idea that we're going to convey today. That spiritual healing restores our relationship with God, brings inner transformation, and equips us to live a life of purpose, perseverance, and righteousness. So if you don't hear anything else, I want you to hear that today. If you fall asleep after this moment, I want you to go home today. Y'all laugh, but it happens every week. I want you to go home with this idea that spiritual healing restores our relationship with Him. Like, this is the most important thing that we need. And so we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 52. Really, Isaiah, like this part that we're going to be reading, probably the most famous part of this and where we're really going to be digging into is this idea, and it talks in Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6. And we're going to look through those, but I want to provide it all into context because man put the chapters in there, right? Man decided where to put chapter 52 and chapter 53. But honestly, if you look at this in context, it comes all the way up to 52, verse 13 is where this whole passage starts, all the way through Isaiah 53. So it's going to be up on the screen. Sometimes I get yelled at because it's so small up there and you can't see it. So it's also in, you have a Bible and your phone, but it's also up there. Isaiah 52, verse 13, it says, "See, my servant will be successful. He will be raised and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were appalled at you, his appearance was also disfigured, that he did not look like a man. And his form did not resemble a human being. So he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths because of him. For they will see what had not been told them. And they will understand what they had not heard." Chapter 53. "Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He didn't have an impressive form or majesty that we should look at him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone who people turned away from. He was despised and we didn't value him." Here's verse 4. "Yet he himself bore our sickness and he carried our pains. But we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We all went astray like sheep, and we have all turned to our own way. And the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. Verse 7, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to slaughter and like a sheep silent before her shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was taken away because of oppression and judgment. And who considered his fate? For he was cut off from the land of the living. He was struck because of my people's rebellion. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, but he was with a rich man at his death because he had done no violence and had not spoken deceitfully. Verse 10, yet the Lord was pleased to crush him severely. When you make him a guilt offering, he will see his seed. He will prolong his days, and by his hand, the Lord's pleasure will be accomplished. After his anguish, he will see light and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will carry their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him the many as a portion, and he will receive the mighty as spoil, because he willingly submitted to death and was counted among the rebels. Yet he bore the sin of many and interceded for the rebels. This is a picture of Jesus. The beauty of it, and where our focus is going to be in that. Verses 4 through 6, let me read those again so that we don't lose sight of those. Yet he himself bore our sicknesses and he carried our pains. But we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him. And we are healed by his wounds, or your version might say, and by his stripes we are healed. We all went astray like sheep. We have all turned our own way. And the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. I think the idea behind this out of context, this misapplied, this misunderstood, comes from this thought that for a long time, and I say for a long time, really, but it's really been recently, like within the last 50 years. In the last 50 years, this verse has been taken out of the context of who Jesus is and what he really came to do. And it's been misapplied, and it's been used to say that by his stripes, we are healed. And it only talks about physical healing. The last 50 years, if someone has prayed for you, and they've said, and by his stripes, you are healed. It's only, I mean, we've only used it as a physical healing. When someone's repented, we've never said, and man, by his stripes, you are healed. It's become out of balance and out of whack. It's become where this is only talking about physical healing. And I really want to be able to bring a little bit of balance to it and say, this is about spiritual healing. And it's about physical healing. It's about both. If we take this verse and we only use this to talk about our physical healing, our physical well-being, then we cheapen the price of the cross. If we say that by his stripes we are healed, and we're only talking about our physical well-being, then we've cheapened the cross. We've made it less than what it really was. If we only use this verse for physical healing, then we cheapen the gospel. The gospel has less power and effect on us if we think that by his stripes we are healed and it only is talking about our physical infirmities, our sicknesses, our diseases. And there's other passages that quote this, and they provide context that shows that this absolutely is talking about both. And both are essential. I'm not saying that physical healing is not crucial. I'm not saying that spiritual healing, I'm saying that we have to have both in context and in balance. I think so many times that we take this one verse, and there's been whole movements of God and in the church that have taken this and said, by his stripes we're healed. That means that it's now his will that none of us should ever be sick. I'm not smart. You guys know that. But I've looked at the word. I've found like three instances where it very clearly says maybe four, very clearly says, this is God's will. The one is in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, right? Give thanks in all circumstances. Pray continually. Pray without ceasing, right? For this is God's will for your life. There's one, I think it's in Philippians. It says, hey, avoid sexual immorality, for this is God's will for your life. There's one other one that says, this is God's will. And so when we take a verse out of context, we take a verse and we misapply it to give so much weight to our physical well-being, we miss out on what Jesus did for us. And I want you to hear me say, like, I have not endured any physical ailment like some of y'all have. I've been free of that, and it's not because I'm a pastor. It's not because I deserve it. I don't understand that, honestly, why some do and some don't. But what I can tell you is I'm not going to be speaking to you guys like, man, your physical sickness and infirmities, y'all just got to get over it. Like, hey, it's not that important to you. No, I'm saying, like, I haven't been there, but I can still tell you that our most important need, what we need most from the Father, is not to be healed physically. It's to be healed spiritually. And it does, I know there, and I don't understand it. We're praying for people for healing, and they haven't seen it yet, and I don't understand that. But I do know that our greatest need is to be healed spiritually, because to be healed spiritually means that I've been reconciled with God. Man, what good would it be to live a pain-free life, to be free of sickness and disease on this earth, and then to stand before Him and say, out of my presence, you wicked and evildoer. I never knew you. What good would it do to never have to experience pain on this life, but then to spend eternity separated from Him? Our greatest need is to be healed spiritually, because it reconciles us to God. When we read this passage, by His stripes we're healed, we are healed by His wounds. So many times, just because of our natural way of thinking, our minds go to our bodies, right? Like, I mean, that's just natural. We think we're sick, we need to be healed. The greatest sickness that we have is sin. Sin leads to death. Sin leads to destruction. Sin leads to broken relationships. Sin leads to everything wrong. Not once does sin work out in your favor. Not once, if you just make the wrong choice, is it going to be like, is the Father going to go, well, that's not really, that was sin, and I'll reward you for that. God hates sin. He says, be holy as I am holy. Not once are you going to sin and the Father's going to be like, I probably wouldn't have chosen that, but that's okay. That's a good choice for you. Sin is always destructive. Sin always tears down, and sin always leads to death. Your greatest need, my greatest need, is to be reconciled to God, to be healed of everything that the enemy throws at me. I might be pausing quite a bit through here, because this is like, this is a teaching. It requires some insights, maybe sometimes, to just stop and make sure that I've said it how I wanted to. So just bear with me, because I think this is so crucial to bring the church back into balance. If you look on the screen, I think we're going to be in Matthew chapter 8. I just want to provide context, because this is the gospel that they're writing. Matthew chapter 8, I want to say it's verses 14 through 17. Yeah, that is kind of small. Sorry. I see that now. Verse 14, it says that Jesus went into Peter's house and saw his mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. Then he got up and began to serve him. Then she got up and began to serve him. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. He drove out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. So that what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, which we read, might be fulfilled. He took our diseases and he carried, or he took our weaknesses and he carried our diseases. Right? So Jesus, they bring people who are sick, demon possessed, right? And he heals them all in order to fulfill the prophet Isaiah, which was 53 verse 4. But then look in 1 Peter here, 1 Peter chapter 2. Right, so that one's obviously talking about physical healing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, it says that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but you have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls, having died to sin so that we might live for righteousness. Talking about spiritual healing. Psalm 103:3, which Pastor Mike was alluding to and spoke on this morning. But look at Psalm 103, starting in verse 1. It says, my soul, bless the Lord, and that all that is within me, bless his holy name. My soul, bless the Lord, and do not forget all of his benefits. He forgives all of your iniquity. He heals all of your diseases. He redeems you from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion. He satisfies you with good things. Your youth is renewed like the eagle. He heals all of our sicknesses and all of our diseases. He forgives all of our iniquities. He pulls us out of the pit. I know it might seem obvious to as we read the word and you're like, okay, why are we spending so much time on this? Because like it says it right there. It's both. Well, because there's people that are taking this word and they're leading people astray and they're saying that it's only your physical healing. All right, that Jesus, he paid for them all, and there you go. You'll never have to struggle with it again. Wouldn't that be great? But when you look at it in light of sin and of sickness, there are some sins, some things that you struggle with and you pray and they're gone immediately. You never have to deal with it again. And then there are some that we have to continue to bring before him. We all accept that. We all like, yeah, that's obvious. That's called sanctification. That's that process, becoming more like him. But then when we take the same verse and we talk about physical healing, we think that we deserve to be healed on the spot, no matter what, every time. But just like sin, there are some things that we're healed of instantly, never to return again. And there are some things that we won't be made whole of, free from, until we stand before him face to face. And I don't understand it. I know for me, when you look at sin, like I grew up in a small town. There wasn't much to do other than get into trouble and drink, which I enjoyed both of those things. I, 20 years old, I was lost. Had no purpose in life. My only goal was to make it through the day so I could get to drink at nighttime. Stole money so that I could have enough money for alcohol. My wife, she was fiance or actually girlfriend. Actually, probably not even that when it all started. Put up with so much. One night, I had given my life to the Lord when I was 12. My grandfather led me to the Lord, but just fell back into the old ways and habits and being influenced by the world. But one day when I was 20 years old, one night, I was throwing up in my shower. And I just said, Lord, can you please take this from me? I enjoy it way too much. Didn't think anything about it. I was not in the right state of mind. The next night, nothing really seemed to change. I went to take a drink, and I couldn't even smell it. and there was a gag reflex. And I was like, that's weird. So I didn't drink that night. Next night, I was like, okay, try nothing. I was 20 years old. I'm 43, I believe. To this day, I still cannot take a drink of it. And that is, even like one time I was like, Lord, me and my wife, we've been married, we're celebrating the anniversary. Lord, let me just enjoy something. She's over there drinking wine. I'm like, let me just enjoy. And it was like, I picked it up. I was like, man, I just can't even. In that moment, delivered instantly. I hate to disappoint people. It's a sin called people pleasing. And I struggle with that every day. I don't know when I'll be free from that. But every day I struggle with, am I liked by people? I don't want to have a hard conversation with someone because what if they don't like me? I avoid conflict because what might that do? They might think less of me. And every day my motivations are shaped and molded by people pleasing. And I won't be free of that. Whenever the Lord wants to. I guess he'll say whenever I want to. I know that. But until I stand before him face to face, there are things that I'm not going to be free of. It's the same way, these are just my stories, but there was a time, a bad toothache, and toothaches always come like when the regular dentist is closed, you know, and you like have to go to the emergency room because it costs more money that way. It had been going on like 2 days, so probably I should have done it before that. It was the regular dentist was closed, but it's like a Friday night, Saturday night actually. And it's the most excruciating pain I've ever felt, other than when the Mavs lost to the Celtics. But the physical pain of my toothache was so bad. I can remember Lauren said, hey, kids, why don't we just pray for Dad? I don't know if she felt sorry for me or if she was annoyed by it. But she just said, hey, kids, let's just pray for Dad. They one by one, they prayed. And Ben might have been 6 or 7 at the time. Ben just walks up and says, God, heal my dad. That's it. He didn't call down heaven and fire and, you know, all the things, the angels. And he just said, God, heal my dad. And instantly it was gone. Gone. I think what happens is that we can build theologies based off of that. And when we do, we ignore the real fact that there are things in this world that we are going to deal with. And I will not be fully free from sin and the entrapments of the world until I stand face to face before him and I hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. It doesn't matter how close I get, how far I get from sin, there is still something always creeping at my door. I can be free from people pleasing, but then there's going to be something else. Always. Because the enemy will never give up. And I'm telling you, there might be things that you are dealing with physically right now. And can the Lord heal it instantly? Absolutely. Absolutely. It goes back to that Romans 8:28. He works all things together for the good of those who love him. And Jeff Hopkins thinks to be completely pain-free, to not have sickness is good. But if we never had to go through anything, where would the growth and maturity be from? Where would we get that? If everything was handed to us, if everything just worked out, I'm trying to remember the passage. I think it might be actually right before the Romans 8:28. Maybe it's Romans 8:23 through 27. But it says, what is hope
that is seen. It's not even hope. If everything that I, if I want to be healed instantly of this, then what is there to hope for that one day I'm going to be raised to life? I'm going to be stand before him in a new, glorious, heavenly body. If this body was not wasting away, as it says that it is, that this body is wasting away, then what's to hope for? Because my hope is that one day I stand before him and I get a new heavenly body. And it's going to be glorious. If I got that body on this side of heaven, then what's there to hope for? If I never had to struggle with sin, then why do I want to see him face to face? The glory of seeing him face to face is that you see all the things that he did and everything, how he's pure and perfect and holy. And you stand before him and you see yourself. And then you fall in love with him again. Can we do the main idea? Because maybe I got, oh, there it is. Maybe I get distracted. Spiritual healing restores our relationship with God, brings inner transformation, and equips us to live a life of purpose, of perseverance, and righteousness. You see so many instances in the Word. Somebody, I think Lauren said something about me using AI or something for sermons. Fellas, look at this. This is all handwritten, man. I'd be the dumbest AI there is out there, all right? You don't want this computer doing nothing. It's all handwritten. It's all in my head. I think so many times we begin to look at healing. And like I said, we think that the word is just in the physical. But there's that story in Mark chapter 2 where the four men, Jesus was in a house and it was crowded around him. It was getting too close. And it says that four friends lowered their paralytic friend down through the roof. Do y'all remember this? Cut a hole in the roof. They lower him down in there. You know what Jesus said? Let me read this in Mark chapter 2 because I don't want to mess this up. Just one more. There we go. They lower the man on a mat. And Jesus says, seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. I mean, that's a great feeling. But what's the paralytic thinking he's going to say to him? Son, you're healed. Son, rise up and walk. But what does Jesus say? First of all, it says, seeing the faith of his friends, he told the paralytic man, son, your sins are forgiven. One thing that happens out of Isaiah 53, where by his stripes we're healed, this teaching comes about that says that we're always supposed to be healed. We're supposed to walk in health and wholeness at all times. And if we don't, it's not a lack on God's part because God is pure and perfect and holy, but it's a lack on who? Me. Right? It's my lack of faith that prevents the healing from happening. But what does it say right here? Jesus looked at the friends. He didn't even look at the guy that was sick, paralyzed. He looked at the faith of the friends and said, by seeing the faith of his friends, he said, son, your sins are forgiven. And it goes on in Mark chapter 2. It goes through there, and remember the Pharisees were like, who is this guy? Who can forgive sins? Like, this is blasphemous. And Jesus goes, what's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say to pick up your mat and walk? And they're like, what? And so then what does he do? Hey, pick up your mat and walk. He heals them. I think so many times when we look at healing, we think it's physical. Remember the story of the 10 lepers. I think it's in maybe Luke. I should write these things down. Maybe Luke 17. It says that Jesus came into contact with the 10 lepers. Hey, go show yourself to the priest. They all go away. They're excited. One comes back. And he said, hey, we're not all 10 of y'all cleansed? Here, you don't have to be smart. You don't have to know Greek, but just look at words. It says, we're not all 10 of you cleansed? Cleansed? And he said, yeah, we all were. He said, what, your faith has healed you. You see, there's a difference in being cleansed and being healed. Where so often we settle for the less to be cleansed, the more is to be healed. They were all physically healed, all 10 of them. But the one that came back was healed. When we run after cleansings and not after healing, we cheapen the price of the cross. When we are so concerned, and I'm not, once again, I'm not beating you down, because I get it, being in pain, and it's a hard thing. But when my main desire is to be set free from the physical ailment, when I desire that more than being in right standing with the Father, I've missed it. The word says that our bodies are wasting away, that the natural cannot inherit the supernatural. Our bodies are going to waste away. But that never has to change our standing with the Father. There's another one that people use all the time, and I mean, it's true, so I'm not saying anything bad about it, but if you look at James chapter 4, no, chapter 5. Pages. It says, the prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Oh, here, let me go back to verse 14 so y'all get this all in context. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, the prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. So if you're sick, go to the elders. And we all know it. You'll be healed. And if any of you have committed sins, they will be forgiven. How great is that? Our spiritual healing and our physical healing, they're all bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. To emphasize one over the other is wrong. Our greatest need is to have our relationship restored to the Father. What good is it? I mean, even Jesus speaks of this, right? Like, hey, if your right eye causes you sin, to gouge it out. It's better to enter into heaven with one eye. Right? What's so much better, to be healed and never be in pain, but to spend eternity separated from Him? Physical healing is important. Physical healing is a reflection of God's compassion and His power. I mean, Isaiah 61 talks about the ministry of Jesus, right? That He's coming. He's going to heal the sick. He's going to give sight to the blind. He's going to raise the dead. He's going to set the captives free. Hallelujah. He's going to do all those things, and He did all of it. Absolutely. You see in the Gospels of people being healed of miraculous things. And I don't want you to walk away from here questioning whether or not we believe in healing. We absolutely believe in healing. We've seen it. We've prayed for it. Like Miss Anna, they're not here today, but Miss Anna, one of our elders' wives, she's in service. Oh, there she is. Okay. Hiding behind Candy over there. Right? I mean, Miss Anna, just glasses for a long time. And here in service one time, just praising the Lord, takes her glasses off and can see. Healed instantly. No one laid hands on her. Nothing. The Lord spoke to her and healed her. I mean, I told you guys last week about we were praying for the girl who had the accident. I didn't give too many details, babe. I know you're in the kids thing, so don't gripe at me. All right. But like, we were praying for the girl with the jet ski accident. Looks so bad, and the doctor's worst report ever. The next day, hey, so yeah, everything's gonna be okay. Like we missed it. They were just there, but we just like no. We believe that the Lord heals. God is a God who heals, and He does it out of His compassion, out of His mercy, and out of His kindness. I can't stand up here and tell you why some people do get healed and why some people don't. I can't. I would be a fool if I could. Because in here it doesn't say it. If I came up here and said, well, this, and this, I would be a fool. All I can tell you is that He has the power to heal. He has the ability to heal. And sometimes He doesn't. But I have to say that that is good. I'm so much more concerned with what He needs to do in me through those times than to be delivered from them. You look at physical healing, it's a reflection of His compassion and His mercy on us. Jesus heals because He loves you and cares for you. And when you don't get the result that you want, it's because He loves you and He has compassion and mercy for you. I think we see so many of the healings in the Word that maybe, and sometimes we don't see those outside of here, outside of the Word, and it seems like they're not there, but it's a demonstration of His power. Like, why is physical healing also important? Because it's a demonstration of His power. Right? Like, it wasn't just Jesus. He commissioned the 12. He commissioned the 72 to go out and to do what He did. Like, we fully believe in the gift and the power of healing. But we also believe that it has to be in the proper place and proper balance with our spiritual healing. Sometimes the Father heals for encouragement and for the faith of others. Sometimes He doesn't heal for the faith of others. When we walk through things that are very trying and difficult, and we don't get the result that we want, we don't get our answered prayer that we desire, when we live a life well to the end, people take notice of that. You look at some of the songs that were written. You know, one of the most famous ones is the "It Is Well." You know, the guy lost his wife and kids on a ship accident, you know, and he's going over there to recover them. And as he's crossing the ocean, he begins to pen, "It is well with my soul." Can you imagine all the things that have come out of tragedy that we never would have experienced, that we would have been robbed of if everything would have gone according to our own plans? But here's why I say that spiritual healing is more important. Is because it restores our relationship with God. It brings inner transformation and it equips us to live a life of purpose, of perseverance, and of righteousness. Spiritual healing is so important because we were once separated from God. And by the blood of Jesus, I mean, when you read that Isaiah 53, that language, "He was crushed for our iniquities, He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities." When you really like look at, I know you don't need the, I've said you don't need a degree in Hebrew, which I don't have, but you know, you just look at the writings and you see it. That's the most violent words that they had to talk about death. pierced and crushed. When you look, like, I think so many times too, like, we just think pierced, right? His hands and his feet were pierced by nails. His side was pierced and outflowed blood and water. His head was pierced by the crown of thorns. All so that we could be restored back to right relationship with him. He was broken, like that, those words, pierced, crushed. It's that same idea when in the movie, The Passion of the Christ, puts so much view, like, pictures to the words, but how his body was ripped to shreds so that you and I could be made whole. What better thing is there than that? I was reading this week Romans 4, 5. He justifies the ungodly. He declares us righteous. What better thing is there than that? You who were destined, right? For the wages of sin were death. All men have gone astray. Like, we're all destined to a life of eternity separated from him. But yet one man entered into creation and he set everything straight. He died, the righteous died for the unrighteous, so that you and I could be restored to the Father. He lived a perfect and sinless life so that us who don't can still be in the presence of the Father. I like that 2 Corinthians verse. It starts in the verse, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5. That's in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Not counting our sins against us. There's nothing better. To be caught red-handed, to be guilty beyond a shadow of a doubt. And Jesus says, I'll take care of it. There's a book called The Tale of Two Cities. I think it's Charles Dickens. There's a point in the story where they're going to the guillotine. And one person steps in and says, I'll take their place. And this little girl that was beside the person goes, I think God must have sent you here from heaven for me. We're on the guillotine. We've earned the guillotine. It's not like it was brought on against us like, oh, where did that come from? No, we've been caught red-handed. We're guilty. We're charged. And Jesus dies. The righteous die so that the ungodly can be called the righteousness of God. I know physical sickness is bad. Infirmities, diseases, they're horrible. But our spiritual healing is so much more important than that. Spiritual healing is so important because it deals with the root cause of sin. Sin leads to brokenness and to death. And spiritual healing brings transformation, changing our hearts and our minds. You see that spiritual healing isn't just a band-aid. Spiritual healing gets down to the root cause. You see, I told you I was 20 years old. I was lost and without purpose. And what happened is that I got healed spiritually. One, because this lady here was praying for me, dragging me to church on Sundays. First time I went to her church, it was a little different than the First Baptist Church in Strawn. You know, they didn't think time was of the essence. And I remember, like, I sitting there, like, we're like 2 hours in, and it's still the worship. And I looked at her, I was like, man, this ain't going to work. I walked out, sat in the car. She's so full of grace. Go back the next week. And man, just so different than what I was used to. They were praying for people, and people were getting healed and saved and delivered. And I was like, if that happens one more time, and I knew it was, there was a whole lot of people, it was going to happen. I said, if it happens one more time, I'm out of here. She didn't say a word. I walked out, sat in the car. And then one day, something happened. You see, I was lost and I was without purpose, and I got healed. Not physically, I got healed of the root cause of which was my sin, was to be without purpose. Drinking was a byproduct of being lost. Nobody drinks because they enjoy it. Nobody gets drunk because they enjoy it. They do it because they're lost and they're without hope. Yeah, you can go to a rehab place and you can get set free of alcoholism, but to actually be healed, to have your soul healed. When I found value and purpose and meaning for my life, then alcohol did not matter anymore. We can be healed of all the surface level things that we want to be, but until we actually deal with the root cause, we'll always struggle with it. Spiritual healing is so important. We look at things that are in this world where you have gender confusion and identity and sexual things that are just this perversion of the way that God intended it. And man, we can be so angry and upset with them as Christians, can't we? We're good at that. We can be so angry and upset with them. The problem isn't them. The problem is they have a hurt and a wound somewhere there that hasn't been dealt with. They're without value and purpose and meaning. And all they're doing is trying to find a way to receive that validation. And you know what happens? They receive validation outside of here. And so they keep doing those things because they're affirmed out there. We judge them. We condemn them. And we tell them, don't come in here. There's a fine line between affirming it and love. But spiritual healing is so important because it gets to the root cause. And until you find the root cause of your thoughts and your patterns and your behaviors, you're going to deal with them for the rest of your life. And you still might, because that's what happens. It's sin. But it changes us because we're no longer broken. We're made whole. It leads to new behaviors and new attitudes. Once we are set free from that root cause and we have value, we have purpose, and we have meaning, the main problem is that we don't have an identity. We're always searching for identity. Some place to belong, some place to fit in. But once we're healed, then we have our identity as a son or a daughter of God. And that will not come about through any physical healing. That will only come about through your soul being restored to Him, being set straight, seeing Him rightly and seeing yourself rightly. It will only come about through repentance. You see, spiritual healing will provide perspective that allows us to look past our present circumstances. And it causes us to look to the ultimate goal of standing before Him face to face. You see that when we're healed spiritually, now eternity is on our mind, not what we see here. When we are healed spiritually, this matters. This world matters so much less. when we place a high value on the things of this earth, that reveals that there's something missing in us. We haven't gotten it yet. I haven't gotten it yet. When I care more about what's happening around me than what the Lord's trying to do in me, I've lost the perspective. I need that healing that will bring about that proper perspective that allows me to look through at things through eternity. But then the last reason that spiritual healing is so important is because it enables us to live righteous lives. Live lives that are pleasing to Him. And man, it seems like so many times there's this thought of, man, we can't talk about living righteously. Like, man, that's the works. That's law-based. What are you talking about? Man, I'm saying we're supposed to live righteously. We're supposed to not like sin. We're supposed to be good husbands and fathers and wives and mothers. We're supposed to be sons and daughters of God. We're not trying to earn our way into His kingdom. But when we've been healed spiritually, then we're actually able to live righteous lives. Before Him, sin ruled and reigned over us. The Word says that we were slaves to sin. But since Christ, after Christ, we're no longer slaves. We're sons and daughters of God. We're co-heirs with Christ. We've been raised and raised up, and we've been seated on heavenly places with Him, in heavenly places with Him. When we're healed spiritually and we can live lives that are righteous, can you imagine all the pain and the grief that your family won't have to go through? When Jeff Hopkins lives that righteous life that I'm enabled to by the Spirit, then my sons and my daughters don't have to deal with the consequences of my sin. How much better is that going to be? Yeah, I could get healed of cancer. I get healed of degenerative back disease. But what's going to do more for my family? To see a man of God live righteously so that they never have to know the old me. Imagine if we spent less time thinking and dreaming about sinful things, how much more time would we have to give to our family and to give to the Lord? You know how much time we spend and waste thinking about sin, coming up with ways to sin, come up with plans, and or how sin kind of makes us, you know, you have fear and doubt and worry, and how much time do we spend in fear, doubt, and worry? But when we've been healed spiritually, think about all that time that now can be spent in prayer over our family, over our church, over your pastor. What if we were to live in such a way that was pleasing to the Father? You see, our greatest need is not to be healed physically. Our greatest need is to be reconciled to God, to have that relationship restored. I say all of that because we've gotten it out of whack. We've placed such an emphasis on the one that we've missed the beauty of spiritual healing. We've cheapened the cross. We've made the gospel less than. So I wanted to provide context for you. I wanted you to be able to see that there has to be balance in our lives. So as we end, I would like you to just think. We kind of did this after worship. So if you didn't do it then you can do it now. Or if you did, then you can just think about what lunch is coming up. Probably not, though. Don't do that. What if we just stopped for a moment and said, Father, is there anything that I need to be healed from? Why don't we do that right now? Father, is there anything that I need to be healed from right now? Is there any thought, any lie, any behavior, any attitude that I need to be set free from. And then now just ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up, to enable you. Jesus, thank you that you paid the ultimate price and you restored our relationship with the Father so that we could live lives of transformation. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.